This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Our question right now, are you ready for the Rangers to be sellers at the trade deadline, or do you want to at least give them time till the All-Star break?
I don't know if people can see my shirt on the radio, but I know they can see it on YouTube and on Twitch and stuff.
They definitely
look at my shirt. Now you read it, Kevin, for the radio people who can't see.
How do you know?
Rangers. I think
they probably can see.
World freaking champions.
Huh? That's a t-shirt.
With a semi or with a colon? A colon.
I wanted this for Christmas. My wife forgot. I wanted it for Father's Day. My wife forgot. I took her out to dinner the other day, and we walked right by that t-shirt store where I said, this is one of the only things I want. She said, you know what? I forgot to get you that shirt. And so we went in, and we bought the shirt.
Mm.
So now I have my Texas Rangers World Freaking Champions shirt. So, and you want me to sell the champions?
How dare you?
Yes. Well, or at least I'm asking a question. That's what we do here. We ask questions.
All right.
Now, in terms of somebody who might be more definitive, I'm going to take you to Evan Grant.
Oh.
Evan Grant pointed this out. The Rangers entered July with a 38-46 record. That's the third worst record for a defending champion in 120 years of World Series era baseball.
Is that good?
No.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Not.
Why do we have to put that out there?
It's the third worst. And then I will give you this. Before this year, the defending champions entered July with a losing record only 14 times in 120 years. None of those teams made the playoffs. The most wins any of them ever had was 83.
Ugh.
I'll take it.
At this point, probably.
You'll take 83 wins? Yeah, I think they can do it.
Be good.
So it doesn't look great from that perspective.
So you just want to quit is what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying that. I don't think... Is trading people quitting?
Mm-hmm.
Or
it kind of is on the year.
On
but
the
not,
year,
yeah,
fair.
On the year.
Okay, well, fine. Let's decide who is doing that. I don't think anyone is quitting. I'm just saying, here are the facts. The Rangers have lost 6 of their last 7. In June, they went 11-16. In May, they went 11-16. It's not like this is a juggernaut waiting to break out. Let's look back at June 2nd. You go back to June 2nd, the Rangers are one game within 500. Since then, they lost 9 consecutive road games, went 1-6 in one-run games, and when they had a scoring opportunity, they hit .241 with a .689 OPS, both in the bottom tier of Major League Baseball. And that includes the cycle game on Sunday.
Mm. Oh, was that still June 30th?
Yes.
Dang it.
There are a lot of things in front of us that would lead you to believe that you should sell. I'm asking the question. If you want to argue, give them more time. I'll listen to that.
I asked you another question earlier this morning.
Okay.
And I don't know if you planned on using that or if this is part of this conversation. Are those the only two options, though, is buy and sell? Or is there another way to get good while also selling? Because I feel like Chris Young is pining over this decision right now over and over and over, and he's like very competitive and doesn't want to be like, you know what, I'm just going to give up on this thing. I think that that's probably wearing him out the most. And I also think he's very smart and very creative. So I think he's trying to come up with a solution. But again, it is the simple fact that 2 years ago, this team couldn't string together hits in an inning. And then last year, it was like once they got going, you couldn't stop them. And now it's again, maybe one guy's hitting tonight and the rest of the guys aren't. And they're not being able to do it. So it's not like this team is one move away. But can they make a couple of moves? Just unfortunately, like Boach is one of those guys where you're like, yeah, he's just got magic. And he can't find anybody that's the live wire right now.
And I know I gave you some negative statistics. I have a couple of positive ones for you, if you like, as well. One of them was one of those teams that had a worse record than the Rangers as the defending World Series champions. It was Toronto in 1994. By the way, the other team was Florida in 1998. And remember, they were like, good enough, tear the team down. So This is pretty rare and pretty bad company that you're in. But that Toronto team, after the All-Star break, they went 9-2. And then you'll recall, very famously, the rest of the season was canceled. But the point was, after the All-Star break, they were not looking like they were a really good team. And then they got on fire. You go back to the Nationals several years ago, they were at a spot where they were having a terrible season. And then it felt like they got back a lot of injured reinforcements and went on to win the world title.
Yeah, I guess I was that wasn't where I thought you were going, because then I thought you were going with because the Nationals didn't have a good year the next year. Now, in a weird way, they had COVID, but then obviously they were having money issues, as in who do we pay? They decided we're not going to pay Anthony Rendon, but we are going to pay Steven Strasburg, and pretty much Steven Strasburg never pitched again.
Yeah.
So they gave about, I don't even know, $150, $200 million to a guy who never pitched again. All of the things you're laying out, I'm going to be honest, I did not know it was that bad in the history of Major League Baseball for what the Rangers are doing
right
now.
Third worst as a defending champion going into July ever. We're talking about 120 years.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I was pretty staggered when I saw that too.
So as you're putting out all the facts, I can see why selling makes more sense than buying right now. Now, can I add to this conversation? I just pulled up on Spotrac the free agents the Rangers have at the end of this year. Because if we're talking about selling players, we have Max Scherzer, Nathan Eovaldi, Andrew Heaney, David Robertson, Kirby Yates, Michael Lorenzen, Jose Leclerc, Travis Jankowski, Jose Urena. And that's pretty much it. Robbie Grossman is the last guy on this list. So I just named a whole bunch of pitchers who are having actually pretty good years who are all free agents at the end of the year. Eovaldi has a vesting option. It's a matter of innings pitched and stuff
like
that.
Which he could get to.
And David Robertson has a mutual option for next year. So there's a way that Eovaldi and Robertson wouldn't be free agents, but Scherzer, Heaney, Yates, Lorenzen, Leclerc, Jankowski, Urena are all free agents at the end of this year.
Why do you think they're having great years, Kevin?
You do need to, if you're Chris Young, at the All-Star break, I won't say today, but at the All-Star break, and this is going to be a tough All-Star break for the Rangers, because let's be honest, the ownership, and they're going to have things to do while the game's here in their stadium. But the major conversations they need to have before they start the second half is going to be on these guys. How much do we want to bring back these specific players? Because if you're saying we don't want to bring them back and we're 8 to 10 games under 500 at the All-Star break, if that's what the Rangers are, then I think Chris Young needs to know. If I was Chris Young, I would want to know, hey, I like Kirby Yates. I'd like to bring him back. Can we bring him back?
Yeah.
If I started negotiating with this agent right now on another 1 or 2 year deal, are you telling me I have the ability to offer him 2 years and $15 million total to bump him from 4.5 to 7.5? Like, if I don't have the authority to do that, you're like, I don't want to do that, then I might have to see what I can get for Kirby Yates. And let's just say I'm throwing out another name. What can I get for Kirby Yates and Andrew Heaney as a combined package? You know, I'm throwing it out. I don't think the Rangers are at that point today, but we're really close to the All-Star break. And that's when you do have to have those major conversations. Buying, selling, if we are selling, who are we selling?
Yeah, and that's the other part of it too is, Kevin, if you really want to be back in contention,
yeah,
you have to start identifying players that you can say, okay, I'm going to trade this package of pitching for a guy that's going to be a hitter on my team next year and can replace, I don't know, first base, unless there's another first base option down out there somewhere. Or you start looking at, well, you know, where can I make my batting lineup better? Because then we're going to have to spend again in free agency to get pitching here because all the pitching is gone.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what you have to see, where Ray Davis has to look at that and go, all right, I'm going to have to spend again, or we can make something better happen here, or do we even have any time? You don't have time right now.
And that's exactly what I was thinking about because we talk all the time off air, maybe not as much on air, but I think the people know about who are your next pitchers in waiting. You know, and so while it might not be your favorite thing to do, if you could find somebody that like, hey, he's probably a year away and you're like, hey, hopefully that's far enough in the process that the Rangers won't ruin this arm like they have so many others.
The only guy who's a pitcher in waiting and he still has a major issue today is Cody Bradford because he pitched three great starts, was 3-0 to start the year with an ERA under 2. I don't have his ERA in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was under 2. That's the only guy that you have under control for 5 or 6 years that you believe can start.
Because you don't think it's Jack Leiter,
right?
Not right now. Yeah. I'm hoping, but right now, and here's the deal. If you're the owner of the Texas Rangers, obviously it's Ray Davis and company. I'll just put him as the main person right now. Is if you can't develop starting pitching at $1 million to $5 million level per year as they hit like a little bit of arbitration, yeah, even up to 10 to 15 if they're doing great. If I have to buy 5 starting pitchers every year or put them on multi-year contracts to have them, I'm looking at $100 million per year to put together a 5-man free agent rotation. That's just the average of what it cost. Because if I'm looking at people like in today's market, if I'm looking at John Gray's who are kind of middle of the rotation guys, I'm looking at $15 to $18 million a year. If I'm looking at stud pitchers, I'm looking at approximately $30 million a year. So if I'm trying to put together a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm going to have to spend approximately 100 of my 180 to max $200 million budget. 100 million goes to 5 starting pitchers if I can't develop them. And I've already giving about, I'd have to go look at the numbers, $55 million to my middle infield?
Yeah.
So I'm at $155 million for 7 players to truly compete, if that's what it, now, you can find kind of, if you can get lucky, you can kind of find the Michael Lorenzens at 4.5 and they end up working out. So I'm not saying it has to be 100, but if I want to go kind of cheap on 5 free agent pitchers to put together a $60 million and I'm hoping for the best, like, but it's 60 at a minimum.
Yeah.
It's 100 if I want to put together a really nice 5-man rotation if I can't develop starting pitching. But if you can develop 2 and they're at about $1 million a pitcher, now I have 2 starting pitchers at $2 million total. Now I can buy a $30 million pitcher. Obviously, look, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I mean, DeGrom's going nowhere in the next 3 years with his salary, which is approximately $40 million. So you have one at 40. So I'd like to bring Evaldi back, but that's going to cost you probably 25 the way he's pitched the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Man, somebody just messaged us on Twitter, Kevin, and said Smith, Langford, Garcia, Scherzer, all on the block. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
No, they don't know. So I would have never guessed this. I would have never guessed going into 2024 season that if you were talking about how to improve the team in the future, that you would need to talk about hitting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it would be such.
There's no chance.
Such a situation where now, as you're looking at this team, and there's still a lot of time to change things.
You had 2 pitchers starting last year through the playoffs for you, and your bullpen was pieced together very luckily at the end. Your hitting was what got you through most of the season in the playoffs.
Next year, your known rotation is what? John Gray?
Mm-hmm. And then I guess DeGrom?
Yes, DeGrom, but you don't know yet.
Yeah.
I guess Mally's on a 2-year contract, but you don't know what he can and can't do yet. And then Cody Bradford?
And Jack
and
Leiter.
Dane Dunning?
Dane Dunning is who I was thinking.
But Dane, they kind of want in the pen as that
and
kind
of... he's had a couple struggles out of the pen, too.
Yeah, well, really. Yeah, and really struggles in the rotation more. I feel like he's better suited for what he's doing right now. I think he's a good swing guy. When you need a fifth starter because you have injuries and that's going to happen, he can bump in for 10 starts a year.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's awesome. Urania. Like, I'd like to bring back Urania next year. I think he's done a really nice job in what his role has been.
And so, Mike, I wanted to read this text to why this comes up. The 972, the Rangers are going to get healthy and win the damn division. Stop trying to blow S up. All right, two things. First of all, I don't think you're blowing anything up because none of those people would be under contract next year and beyond. And the other thing is, if that works, great. What if it doesn't? You're not going to spend the money, as y'all just laid out, to go get all these pieces that you still need. This is a viable...
Go get Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, go get Rangers. I agree with that. This is a viable path to potentially... get cheaper players on their way up here.
I don't know if this is right or not. Somebody told me that the Rangers are now ranked. This can't be right, but maybe it is because Lankford's not a prospect anymore. Evan Carter's not a prospect anymore. That the Rangers are 28th.
That feels low.
That's way too low. I heard somebody say that, and I was like, I don't think that's right. But if you look at now, do you know who the top two prospects are in the Rangers organization? It's on MLB. It's Sebastian Walcott, number one, and Jack Leiter, number two. Oh. It might be Foscue's number three or two. Like,
he came back and he hit a home run, by the way.
Those are your top three prospects, I think, now in your organization. And that's not as when you saw Evan Carter and Wyatt Lankford and, you know, kind of when you were in that after the All-Star break last year, you're like, oh, my gosh. But right now you start looking at it and go, in a way, if you go down this, let's just say, Evan Grant path, you could use maybe a little bit of help. Yeah. In certain areas in your farm system slash, and then you got to be able to develop starting pitching at some point.
It's
here,
Walcott and Foss.
Very, yeah. And is Leiter three?
No.
Who's three?
Rocker.
Who's not really pitched ever in professional
and
baseball.
Anthony Gutierrez is four.
Okay.
And Jack Leiter's five.
Okay. Those are your top five prospects in your organization now.
Whew.
So I do think
that's why it's worth a conversation. It is.
It really is too, because you have to look at it and go, how are we going to develop cheap, great starting pitching?
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan coming up next. Plenty of Mavs fans are stoked for the Clay move, but for those who aren't, what do you think could go wrong with that addition? That and Mike likes it next as we move into the expressway on 105.3 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Thompson gets it back off a screen by Looney and buried a fading jumper on the left side.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. There was a lot of excitement yesterday when Corey broke the Klay Thompson to the Mavericks news. We're excited about it. A whole lot of folks are excited about the Klay Thompson move. However, when we talked about it on social media, put posts up on social media, we got feedback on our Facebook page, the KNC Masterpiece with an ampersand. There were a decent amount of people that think this is a bad move.
Fantex has been that way too.
Because they think, and it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong then, Corey, it seems like the overwhelming majority of people who feel that way just think that Klay Thompson has nothing
washed
left. Okay. So I just wanted to start the conversation and talk about it from there and maybe get some more feedback from folks who think this is a bad move for the Mavericks.
I would like to put a prediction out there, by the way. This is the year that Klay Thompson finally puts it all together.
Mm. I feel like he's pretty good for a while, though, right? Like a really long time.
I'm interested. I don't even know what to say until I hear the why this is a bad move situation.
So some of the feedback I've seen and some of the line of thinking
he's not the defensive player that you think you're getting. And I think that I know exactly.
That's true.
What
we all know that.
I know what I'm getting.
And I think the question then becomes like, how much do you know what you're getting? Because one of the things that we realized very quickly, or that we knew, is that Luka Doncic, you know that he's not anywhere near an elite defender, right? He raised the level of his play during the course of the season defensively. But even then, right, like we saw Brian Windhorst get on TV during the course of the finals and lambast his defensive effort. And that's something that's not new, but it reached a new height during the course of this offseason. Kyrie Irving is a guy that we know has, you know, is not a big size, and I know that he can kind of get some steals here and there, but there are ways that you could take advantage of him. And it felt like we all kind of came to an agreement that defensively, in order for this team to be successful, you need those guys on the floor, so you need to surround them with dudes that can play at as high of a defensive level as possible. And I think that people are then questioning, if you're not getting the Klay Thompson that was prior, the elite defensive stopper on the perimeter, what level of, and I keep using the word degradation, like what level of kind of step back are you seeing? Because is it a step back to the point where you're at a similar level as Kyrie and Luka, where, you know, hey, they're giving great effort, but they can be attacked? Because then you have three guys in that place where you're maybe worried about them. And then the idea of the team defensive construct, is it enough to carry three guys that teams might go after in some ways? I think that ends up being the question that, Corey, I think you're trying to highlight there.
From 2012 until 2017, he had a defensive rating no lower than 108, right? Every time.
Which is probably top 5% in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah. Over the last 2 years, 116, last year 117. So For him,
is that average? I don't know.
Well, it's also worth noting the defensive rating. We don't really have great individual defensive metrics. In fact, we don't really have great defensive metrics in general, but individual really especially. And so defensive rating, the individual rating is still going to matter somewhat about the team construct.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is still some of what we're talking about.
That's still a significant drop off from it for that number for him. And that's I think it's a little less than average, by the way, Mike. It's a little bit less than average.
What did they want the Mavs to do? They wanted them to just bring back the same team and not do anything?
I don't have an answer to that because
they wanted a $50 million two-way player that's like the best in the they wanted LeBron James.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how we were supposed to do that.
Right.
Not going to happen. Here's one person from the 972. Seeing the way the move shook out, I don't feel this way. I won't lie. Sucks to get rid of Josh Green. And then from the 682, Klay Thompson is old and busted. It's the old and busted part that comes up more, at least what I've seen, than anything else.
And I've seen this time after time after time again over the last 2 days, Kevin, pointing to his 0 for 10 in the elimination game. And that specifically where he played 30 minutes and did a Tim Hardaway. You know, like you're just like, what?
That's going to happen.
And I don't know if that was attitude. Or
he's at the age where that could happen. If they would have played a 7-game series, I don't think he would have gone 0 of 70 from the field. And I don't think so, but maybe I guess he would have.
Before that, just real quick, before that, their last four games of the regular season, he went 6 for 12, 3 for 9, 5 for 10, and 6 for 13. Three of those you would love to have. And so I hear you. And there was another game earlier in the year where I think he went like 1 for 7 and maybe 1 for 9. But there are plenty of others where it's 5 for 10, 6 for 14, 6 for 11.
In the month of April, he averaged 23 points on 50% shooting and 44% three-point shooting. Does that sound like a guy who's wasted and done that he shot? I'll give you the exact numbers. 49.6% from the field. 43.7% on 10.1 attempts from three per game, 100% on free throws. He didn't miss one.
Hell yeah.
He had three rebounds, 3.3, 2.7 assists, 1.7 turnovers, one steal on 23.1 points a game in 7 games in the month of April. Does that sound like a guy who's wasted? Now, how about this for Josh Green fans? And I get it. Josh Green is a solid role player in the NBA. How many games did Josh Green play last year? At his age, man, he's healthy. He's good to go, man. This dude, Josh Green, played in 57 games last year. Klay Thompson played in 77.
Yeah.
He literally played in 20 more games than Josh Green. And Josh Green played in 60 games the year before. He's a hurt player. Josh Green, to me, is a guy who can only play right now. Now, that can change. He's a younger guy. But he's a guy who's going to have to miss 20 to 25 games a year because his body has not proven to be NBA worthy of playing an NBA regular season. It just hasn't in the last 2 years.
I am concerned a little bit about attitude. If attitude was a problem for him last year, if he was hurt and offended by them and it just wasn't getting the full production from him, and how does that change? Because I think attitude is the only thing that you can really control. That's what we always hear and say is you can control that. You can't control everything else, but you can control how you go do your work and how you go out about your business. And so if he shows up here, I feel like the culture is very good right now for the Mavericks. Obviously coming off being there, having that, now adding pieces that are giving you energy, I feel like it's good. Individually, I just don't know exactly where he's going to be mentally.
It was a trade. But he chose us.
He did.
That is not a person who's going to come in with a, what the crap is my contract here? He chose us. He chose less years. He chose less money to be a Dallas Maverick. He has had a great attitude throughout his career. He could have had a really crappy attitude. Richard Jefferson pointed out yesterday on his show on ESPN that, man, he was concerned about his attitude on Christmas Day playing for the Golden State Warriors, that he was not happy with his role, not happy with his contract, and he let it be known on Christmas Day to his former teammate.
There was also a reporter in San Francisco that, and I wish I could remember what his name was, but he pointed out, he said, look, man, it wasn't like Draymond, But behind the scenes, there were some very awkward moments. So, and that, again, that could be attitude from being unhappy about the that situation.
I did watch Locked On Mavs this morning, actually, but I think they did posted it last
night.
Good
decision.
They have a lady who is Locked On Warriors, okay? And she rolled her eyes at Draymond and Klay are the same issues in that organization.
Huh.
She was like, I cover this team. BS. Like, there is not anywhere close to the issues. Yes, Klay has his moments. It ain't close to Draymond Green. This is like saying, she didn't say this. This is like saying, man, we have the same issues with Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. Now, does Michael Jordan at times probably do some things that you're not crazy about on the 98 Bulls? But sure, you're not having to deal with him getting high and drunk with Carmen Electra in Vegas for 10 straight days.
Or doing wrestling stuff.
And I'm not saying that's what Draymond did, but I think comparing those two is just silly. I just, for the money that he's making.
Yes.
For what he did last year, like, wow. And the money that's paid in the NBA today at what he's making is about league average. He's a hair above league average what you're paying him. So if he plays at league average, you're actually getting your money's worth.
Now, outside of attitude and monetary stuff, I saw this brought up and I was kind of intrigued and wanted to pick y'all's brain about this. The Mavericks, as we've talked about in the past, they have a heliocentric system of offense, right? And so that means Klay Thompson has the potential to get plenty of open shots. But it also feels like a different role than he's totally used to. I know he's used to catch and shoot, but not necessarily just standing in a place and waiting for the shot the whole time. I'm curious y'all's thoughts about that.
Well, I want to try to get to Tim McMahon as fast as we can here because he's like, look, if Tim Hardaway Jr. got shots in this system, then you better be damn straight.
No, I know he'll get shots. I'm just curious how comfortable he will be with that rhythm to
I won't go off on my opinion and then Corey,
I have this here.
You can let's play Tim and then I'll give you my opinion on what the lady said on Locked On Warriors.
And the question was asked to him, how will Klay transition from that Warriors motion offense to this current Mavs offense?
Well, number one, I'm not going to try to match X's and O's wits with Tim Legler. Right. I think he probably is going to be able to have a bit of advantage on me in that regard. But look, they're going to get Klay shots. Yep. Like, if Tim Hardaway Jr. got a bunch of shots when he was on the floor, trust me, Klay Thompson's going to touch the ball. Klay Thompson's going to get not just three-point looks, but in a lot of cases, clean three-point looks. And, you know, if you're running pick and roll, Luka and Lively and Klay's on the weak side, like, that seems like it could be pretty tough. The one thing that the Mavericks did last year that honestly I didn't believe would happen. Jake had told us it was going to happen in training camp. I'm like, yeah, right. And it did. And that was they played fast. They were the seventh fastest paced team in the league, which, you know, I was like, not playing fast with Luka, but Luka bought into it. And my point is, if they're playing fast, if they're pushing it, there's going to be threes that present themselves and opportunities that present themselves to Klay in those transitions, semi-transition. And look, will they? If he hadn't touched in a while, will they sometimes run a play for him? Absolutely. You know, they didn't go out and recruit Klay just to have him, you know, stand out on the wing and pick his nose.
Mm-hmm.
But stylistically, it's going to be like, I'm sure there will be an adjustment for him. But again, I think
I'm going to stop it right there. I like that answer, and I thought the second part answered it more than the first part because, like, I know he'll get open shots, and oddly enough, last year he was a better shooter the tighter the defensive coverage got, as opposed to wide open versus tight defense. And so I have no doubt he'll get the shots, but I like the second part of the answer when they talk about there will be plenty of opportunity to get it still in the flow that he's used to as well.
I'm not sure how many different plays you have for Derrick Jones Jr., but I feel like you can come up with a number of different plays for him to come off screens. And here's one of the numbers I saw yesterday, Mike, was the Mavs last year were 26 shooting off screens, 26th or 27th shooting off of screens. They were miserable at it. And Klay last year was 41% shooting off of screens whenever he's coming off of a screen, which the Mavericks couldn't do. They didn't have that in their bag. And now they can develop something like that. So that's and the one thing that the Boston Celtics absolutely took away from the Mavericks was the corner three, because they said, and J.J. Redick pointed out multiple times, try and make one from above the break. and Klay Thompson can make shots from above. Like, we know, we've seen it. So he has things, he has a toolkit that certain players on the team didn't have last year, that the opponent said, we're going to force you to not be able to do your good stuff. And they said, we don't have an answer for it then.
All right, so nobody in the NBA's ran more miles in his time than Klay Thompson. He runs like a madman.
Yeah.
Do we want him doing that from 35 to 37 years old or 30? No, we don't.
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely not. And so the
But do you want him just standing still, I guess, would be my alternate question.
He's not just going to stand still.
Okay.
Like, he's just not. Even the other guys, yes, they stand still at times, but he's not just going to stand there in the corner just like
he also
Tim
knows,
McMahon said. He's not just going to pick his nose.
Yeah, he also knows spaces to get open. He sees it better than other people.
He will know. Now, it'll take some time, right? This is where it'll take a little bit of time.
Yes.
Where does Luka, because Luka does passes where he just expects you to be in certain spots and then gets pissed off at you if you're not in that spot. And at times it's probably the player's fault. At times it's probably Luka's fault, but he likes at times just yelling at the guy for not being where he threw the no-look pass that you weren't at. But I do think as you age, you are going to not want to just, if you go watch Klay Thompson in his prime or even after he came back from, you're like, damn, that MF-er ain't going to stop, is he?
Yeah.
But now he doesn't have to run that much, which can keep him maybe a little bit more fresher. The other thing, too, is his role in Golden State was you have to be our second best scorer or we're not going to win. Well, at times he just wasn't good enough to do it, and that's why they found themselves in a play-in situation and out in the play-in. True. Because he wasn't good enough. So I will agree with anybody who wants to say he's not good enough to be the helper to Luka. You are correct. If you need him to be your second best player, you're in a deep crap situation. But he's not even going to be asked to be that here. And you have an alley-oop situation that Golden State had zero alley-oop situation. So you have that situation still here. You have the best offensive player in the world on your team. You have another dude who averaged 25 points on the team who's still a pretty damn good one-on-one player, especially in most situations. Yes, if we play Boston, we're pretty screwed in that situation. Luckily, we're not playing Boston for 82 straight games in the regular season.
Damn right.
So I just don't, I don't get it. I don't get what they wanted the Mavs to do here.
And can we play cut six real quick, too? This was Antonio Daniels with Sean and RJ this morning, and I thought this was, this kind of got me hyped up.
It's not like he's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, Najee's been in this league for a while. So he's set, he's watched. He's learned through vision, and when the opportunity has presented itself, he has made the most of it. This past year in New Orleans, he only started one game. 2 years prior to, he started a numerous amount of games, 20-plus games, and almost averaged 15 points per game in those starts. So, like, again, this, a lot of times things are based on, like, do I know this guy? Like, is this guy a household name? And just because a guy is not a household name doesn't mean that he cannot impact your organization. Najee Marshall is a heck of a dude, one. He was the toughest guy on the New Orleans Pelicans team last year since he's been here. He has been the enforcer in New Orleans, which is wild to say because we're used to enforcers being Charles Oakley or Dale Davis or Antonio Davis. Najee Marshall, 6'5", 6'6", and is one of the toughest guys. I can guarantee you this. Nobody will be pushing Luka around.
I can 100%. I like that part, too. So in addition to adding this great spot-up three-point shooter, you also added somebody that'll put their chest up in your face and say, you're not going to do that to our star guy. And you're not going to let Lou Dort be tackling Luka out on the court out there.
Kevin, here's my question. You sound like you're not happy about getting Klay Thompson.
No, I mean, if we're all just sitting around here like idiots all agreeing with each other, that's a stupid segment. So I'm trying to bring the alternate point of view. And if you want to...
What's your point of view?
My point of view is I actually do largely agree with you, but I'm also trying to present what other people are saying. And one of the things, if we go back to Tim McMahon, he said at best, Klay was an average defender,
right,
but more than likely a below average... You disagree with that?
No, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Or more likely a below average defender. So I'm just bringing up all of the counterpoints of people who don't like it. I told you yesterday... I like this move.
Two-way players cost $40 million a year to $60 million a year in the future of the NBA. Now it's 40 to 50, but it will be 40 to 60. And I get Luke is not, but he's the best offensive player. But if you want two-way players in the NBA that are premium players, which I'd love for Klay to still be a premium player, it would just cost you about $40 million a year on a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
And he's an average on one side. He's an elite IQ defensive player. He does not have the same foot speed and everything that you need.
Sure.
Neither did Jason Kidd in 2011. He wasn't making all NBA defensive teams by the time he got to the Mavs the second time around. But I think we would still say solid defensive player, especially if we're comparing him to Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki. You know, and you had those two guys on the court at the end. I know the game has changed and everything, but no, I just wanted to. I get you're just presenting questions, yeah. But you're coming across as like you weren't happy with this move now today, where I thought you were happy with it. So I was like,
no,
crap,
I'm,
this changed.
You know what? You know I'm what? Happy with it.
Mike, here's what happened. A long time ago, Mike Napoli came back to the Rangers, and Kevin was like, look, it's not the same Mike Napoli that you expected. And everybody was like, shut the hell up, Kevin. What are you doing right now? This is Mike freaking Napoli we're talking about. Mike Napoli chant started coming in on the text, and Kevin was like, I'm just trying to tell y'all, it's not the same Mike Napoli. And guess what happened that year? He wasn't the same Mike Napoli, but he was all right. But the hype level was so high because Mike Napoli was back. And Kevin, right now, there are I think it's about split on people that are super excited about it. Ooh. And people that are like, nah, it's messed up. He's a six man at best for you. Like, I've seen lots of different thoughts on that.
I don't agree with that. I was just presenting because you asked what were those other people's arguments. I just wanted to present what I'm seeing as their arguments. I like the move. Look, I told you at the very beginning of the show, you turned a $5 million taxpayer exemption into all this stuff. You got younger in certain spots. You got more contract friendly in certain spots. I like what the Mavericks have done.
You think he's better than Mike Napoli?
Because they went and they go get Mavericks. That's why.
I'm not going to say that. You already have the other one, and I have to talk to Boach tomorrow.
Let me ask this question to the people who don't like this. Do you have NBA people who don't like this? I understand you're a fan. We're all fans, sure. So we're not experts. Nobody in here is an expert. And what I'd say is, like, I'm a baseball expert.
Yeah.
Is if I have people that are like really into the sport right now, as in they were a former player for a decade, or they are front office people or former front office people, and they're like, this was a stupid move. Like, I haven't seen those people yet. That concerns me. Does that make sense?
Like, no. And I will tell you this, you look across the board. If people are grading, like, former people who were in the league, or, you know, they have really close ties to the league, you see it almost across the board. B+, A- for this Mavericks move, and definitely not as favorable as a grade for Golden State. And so I think people are in favor. I just wanted to give you the devil's advocate point of view. I support this move, and I think a lot of basketball folks do too.
It's for another time.
Or is it?
But I would say, look, maybe in a perfect world he would be your sixth man, but he's not going to do that.
No.
At least not in year one. So in a perfect world, maybe you're like, look, I think you are better than Najee Marshall overall. You averaged 18 points last year. He averaged 7. It's a decent difference. But he doesn't want to do that right now, because you could, like, Jason Terry, sixth man of the year, championship team, he was in the closing 3 to 5 minutes of games.
Sure.
You know, you had to at times use timeouts to get defensive replacements in there and stuff like that. And maybe you have to do that with, maybe not it's Clay, maybe it's Kyrie Irving, who you're using timeouts for, to actually take out of the game and be like, we're going to use, I'm just throwing out Quentin Grimes. We're going to use Grimes, and then as soon as the defensive possession is over, we need a timeout to make sure we get Kyrie back into the game. That'll be interesting. But moving on to Mike likes it, I want to talk about the NBA too, because right now, if we look at the competitors in the West, and I do believe there's three major competitors in whatever order you want to put them, but let's go in the order that the Mavs at least had to play them.
Yeah.
Minnesota was in the conference finals. Yeah. I'm going to stop right there. Minnesota ain't done jack squat.
And we kind of thought that might happen at the beginning of this, right?
They're losing Kyle Anderson. I was just looking this morning going, hey, I get Minnesota traded up for a 19-year-old point guard, that they're like, Michael Conley's close to being done and we need to groom a point guard to take his spot over, and Conley has, I think, 2 more years left on his contract. I think he has this year and next year. Is there kind of like, hey, we're a little bit screwed in this spot, and Michael Conley's career is almost over. And we're also screwed salary cap-wise, so we can't really do anything in this offseason. So Kyle Anderson's gone. They're saying we're not even trying to sign him. So they're losing Kyle Anderson, and their major move was trading up for a 19-year-old point guard who they think can back up Michael Conley next year if his development is good. So I was just wondering from you guys, Minnesota doesn't, I get the improvement of the getting the experience and everything, but I don't know. What are you guys thinking of right now? Dallas made it further, beat them in five. Dallas is trying to get better, but maybe they're not. Maybe through 50% of the match chance, we're actually trying to get worse.
And it's only a matter of time before they all realize that Rudy Gobert is like fake good and he falls apart.
Do Mavs fans feel like Minnesota's doing a better job?
I don't think so. I can't imagine.
Where do you guys see Minnesota right now in the, I say the power four. Four. The power four.
I think they're solidly fourth.
Okay.
Can you compete with Denver?
Can the Mavericks?
I think so. I honestly think you might be ahead of Denver.
Do you think you could have beaten? I know Minnesota beat them, but do you think you could have beaten Denver this year?
Could have, yes. I think you would have lost, okay, though.
Think you can beat Boston right now?
Probably not. They just beat you in five games, and they quit the game. They didn't even want to play the game you won.
But you feel like you can get back to the finals.
Yeah, I think we're second in this. As you go through your power four, I was just going to say, Mike, I would go Minnesota, Denver 3, Dallas 2, OKC 1.
Okay.
I really like what OKC
is. I'm not arguing. I think that their two pickups, two role-playing pickup guys are very good. And I think, to me, I think Shea, I'll rank Luka ahead of him, and I could take some heat for that because Shea impressed me so much. And I know he didn't beat Dallas, but he is such a great player. And Anthony Edwards impressed me tremendously, too, through this. But right now, if I had to rank kind of the three guard players, I would go Luka, Shea, Anthony Edwards. But that can change next year. I'm not saying that's...
And the gap's not as big as maybe we thought or wanted it to be.
Yeah, it's not set in stone. Like, oh, this is what I feel like for the next 5 years. No, it's right now, today, I feel like it's Luka, Shea, Edwards. But Edwards could take a big leap. Yeah. Like he did in the playoffs and surpass them. I don't know, but I'm just looking at Minnesota going, boy, for them being close, that kind of when we eliminated them and they didn't make it to the finals, you started hearing, hey, man, we're in kind of deep crap in this
right
salary cap structure, and we don't want to go to apron two, and we're kind of screwed right now. And it's kind of showing that we hear Minnesota interested in nobody.
Yeah.
Like, a guy like Najee Marshall, I'm going to be honest, I'll still say it. I didn't know Jack Squat about, but I'm hearing so many great things about him from so many people around the league. We just played the Antonio Daniels stuff. Is like, dude, you got him. I get you lost Derek Jones Jr. And Derek Jones Jr., great on the ball defender. From what we hear, and this was before he left, so I'm not trying to take shots at him, maybe not the best off the ball defender in team defense, but you want him on the ball.
You don't think Phoenix is getting any better, right?
I think I brought up Kevin Durant wanting to come to Dallas, not today, but I think they lack a lot of depth. And I think what Kevin's bringing up now with Denver is Denver's going to rely on their starting five.
No kidding, man.
We have nobody coming off the bench.
Yeah, that is problematic because, for them.
The white dude, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name.
Christian Brown,
he's probably taking over Caldwell Pope's starting spot, right? Yeah,
and that's a downgrade. At least it appears as though a downgrade and possibly a big downgrade.
Clippers, they didn't get better, did they?
Oh, no.
They
got worse. Clippers definitely got worse.
The Pelicans...
they might have gotten better, but they got to stay healthy.
Yeah. They lost some, and they're trying to move on from Ingram.
And
they did bring in, though, DeJounte Murray. But, yeah, that's just that's always felt like a team that has a mass of players that I don't think that they have a direct direction with it.
I'm really glad that you said that because the Pelicans have been slotted in my group of, I hear you, I'll believe it when I see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they're in the second round of the playoffs, then I'll be like, whoo, good for them.
They could be 6-13 anytime for me.
Sure.
I think maybe even higher.
I think they honestly could get higher.
I'll give them five then, Kevin.
Yeah,
but I don't know where the Kings are, and Golden State got worse.
Mm-hmm.
Is the West becoming an easier path though? I mean,
I just think those top four are so loaded for bear compared to the Eastern Conference. Like, I know the Cavs got Donovan Mitchell back after everyone thought he was going to leave. Yay. But, like, I still think that top of the West is
the Dak Prescott of the NBA.
I think the West and the East are starting to look similar because you have four teams that were sliding at the top of the West. I think there's three teams at the top of the East as well that look like pretty solid contenders, with obviously the Celtics. The Knicks look a lot better. And then I think the Sixers have put themselves in a really good place as well.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
The Sixers are in that same – I'm sorry, Mike. The Sixers are in that same Pelicans category for different reasons. I hear the hype every single year, and then they find strange and exciting new ways to disappoint.
And I can't argue with you there.
Has Joel Embiid ever been healthy for the playoffs? And I'm asking that as a serious question. I don't know if he's ever been healthy going into the playoffs in his career.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like I'm saying, he's played through injury and had some nice playoff games, but I feel like every year, even if he is healthy and I forgot about it, then he got hurt in the playoffs. Like, that's the one thing about Philadelphia that I just can't buy. Embiid would have to carry him, and there's been no part that I can ever remember him being healthy enough to carry a team.
I'm with you on that.
So, anyways, I just wanted to look at it. Obviously, I'm frustrated with Mavs fans upset with what the Mavs have done, because the easiest thing to do, I think, would have been, we're not changing anything. We were three games away, and we changed a lot. We're not doing anything this offseason. And I feel like Nico and company are like, we're still going to try to get better. And they added a dude who's an over 40% three-point shooter almost every year of his career. That's the worst he's ever been, is 39% on 10 attempts a game at 18 points.
And
under $18 million.
Because, Mike, we discussed it. Middle of the season or around that, the end of the season, this team needs to win right now. Like, they need to win in this window. So Nico's being aggressive.
And they still have assets for those moves that you were talking about.
Name one.
They kept some of their first round picks.
Name two.
Omax Prosper.
Oh, you got him.
Omax Prosper is not going to play a second on this Dallas Maverick team. And I don't know. I have no clue what the NBA thinks about the 24th overall pick a year ago, but you have your 25 and 31 first round pick that you could trade. You have Omax Prosper. You do have, in a way, you have Hardy that you could trade. You have an influx of, still, if you look at Grimes and Marshall, who you just picked up, he hasn't played a second for you, but you kind of have this little bit of wing depth right now, where if you wanted to add a wing, I don't know where Maxi Kleba fits in the overall rotation. I know he's going to play 15 minutes a night, but
I was probably going to go a more dramatic route. That's why I was like, do I want to say that? Because I thought at some point, I would be curious, especially with the ball handling on this team, how Kyrie would work out and fit into. Like, right now, I want to keep the team. I like what they've constructed a lot. But that's why I paused. I should probably just keep that to myself.
If all else fails, you could trade Luka for 20 first round picks. So,
man, honest to God, that might not be enough in the NBA.
I think every pick swap.
Everybody's like interested in Lauri Markkanen. And I'm like, do you have 7 to 10 first round picks available right now?
You have to.
Yeah, that's the only way. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Always up for having a spirited conversation. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Why this team will be everybody's Super Bowl next year in college football. Next on The Fan. Oh.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.